Book of Luke chapter number 11, and Luke chapter number 11, and for the next several Wednesday evenings, we're going to study through this portion of Scripture, and if you say, well, I thought we were studying through the book of Titus, I did too, but the Holy Spirit and God is in control, and He has led me, I believe, thoroughly believe, to deal with this subject matter over the next several weeks. And the passage that is before us is a familiar passage. The subject of prayer is a subject that has been often discussed. Probably for each of us as the people of God, if we'd be honest before the Lord and transparent with ourselves, we would say that it's this area of our lives that needs the most regular evaluation, the area of our prayer life. And the reality is that we need a revival of prayer in our personal lives, in our homes, in our churches. The Lord Jesus Christ said that the church was to be a house of prayer. If you look across the landscape of our nation, you find that the house of God, quote unquote, has become an entertainment house. It's unfortunate. It's to be a house of prayer. I will be honest and transparent with you this evening that two of the last three Sunday mornings, as we've been teaching and preaching through the book of Colossians, the subject matter has been on prayer. And God has used those portions of Scripture as I have had the opportunity not only to prepare them and meditate upon them as I would prepare the messages, but then even as I would deliver the messages, God has used the truths of those passages to encourage me, yes, but to convict me greatly. And I hope that God's Word convicts you in your life as well. It's supposed to. Conviction's a good thing, amen? Sometimes we look at conviction as being a bad thing, but the reality is that it's good for me to be convicted when I read and study the Word of God, when I hear the Word of God preached and taught, for the Holy Spirit of God to use the Word of God to speak to the heart of man. That's a precious thing. And the reality is that as we've studied those portions of Scripture, the conviction, I would say, that I've experienced personally, I hope that you too, as you've listened to those messages and allowed the Holy Spirit of God to use His Word in your life, I hope that perhaps we would evaluate our lives and say, how is my prayer life? How is my prayer life? And as we look at this passage of Scripture, I've simply entitled the message this evening, Teach Us to Pray. Teach Us to Pray. We're familiar with the passage of Scripture. And over the next several weeks, we're going to go little by little through this passage of Scripture, and we will learn, hopefully, what it is that God wants us to learn from this portion of Scripture. But as we would learn this, the important thing of prayer is not to simply be able to talk about prayer. The reality is that many people can talk about the subject of prayer. In fact, I would say this. It is easier for me to preach or teach a message on prayer than to pray. It is. It is easier to teach about prayer, to preach about prayer, than it is to actually engage in prayer. Why is that? Because prayer is a spiritual battle. And the reality this evening is that as we look at this familiar passage of Scripture, the Bible tells us, and it came to pass, in verse number 1 of Luke chapter number 11, and it came to pass, notice this, that as He was praying in a certain place, the He is Jesus. The Lord Jesus Christ, the Son of God, God in flesh, He is praying. He's in a certain place. And no doubt, as we would look at the passage of Scripture and we'd understand what's taking place, we'd have to conclude that the disciples had observed what was taking place. The disciples saw the Lord Jesus Christ engaged in prayer. For the Bible tells us that He was praying in a certain place. Notice this, when He ceased, one of His disciples said unto Him, Lord, teach us to pray, as John also taught his disciples. We'll only get into the first part of verse number 2 this evening because we're going to take little snippets of this passage of Scripture over the next several weeks and spend some time studying the Word of God, and then most importantly, spend some time implementing the truth of the Word of God and praying. And as we look at this passage of Scripture, I would simply say this. Number one, the request of the disciples. You say, well, this is pretty easy outline. I agree. But as we think about the request of the disciples, we understand that they only make the request because of what they observed. If they did not observe the Lord Jesus Christ praying, no doubt they wouldn't have said, teach us to pray. But they observe the Lord Jesus Christ engaged in prayer, which leads to one of the disciples saying to the Lord, teach us to pray. It's a simple yet profound request. They recognize the position of Jesus Christ. You know in the passage that the disciples said unto him, Lord, he is Lord. Lord, teach us to pray. Have you ever considered how many things the disciples could have asked the Lord to teach them? Honestly, how many things the disciples could have asked the Lord to teach them? What we have recorded in the Word of God is but one request from the disciples with regard to what they desire Jesus to teach them, and it's here. Teach us to pray. They had seen Jesus, they had heard Jesus, maybe it would be a better way to say it, they had heard Jesus teach, no doubt, and preach. But they never said, Lord, teach us to preach. We don't read it in the Scriptures. They never said, Lord, teach us how to teach. They'd seen the Lord perform a number of miracles. They never said, Lord, teach us how to do these miracles. They had the opportunity to see the Lord Jesus Christ heal many people. They never said, Lord, teach us how to heal. But when they observed the Lord Jesus Christ in prayer, they said, Lord, teach us to pray. I wonder this evening if we would think about the subject specifically of the first statement that I made with regard to hearing the Lord Jesus Christ teach and preach. And I'll use this because it fits for me personally as the application. If I would learn to pray as I ought to pray, the teaching and preaching would be power-filled by the Holy Spirit of God. I need to learn how to pray. The disciples need to learn how to pray. Teach us to pray. And as we think about the request of these disciples, and we think about the fact that the Word of God and all of the gospel accounts, as the record is given that we have in Holy Scripture of the life and ministry of the Lord Jesus Christ, these disciples make this simple request. Simple yet profound. You know with me in the text of Scripture that they say, Lord, teach us to pray. They don't say, Lord, teach us how to pray. It's not a formula that we pray. The reality is the passage of Scripture that is before us, coupled with, if you were to go to Matthew chapter number 6 and look at the record of Matthew 6 of this same account that is given, you will find that many people within the broad category of Christendom have referred to this passage as the Lord's Prayer. And unfortunately, there are many people groups, the religions, organized religions, that would pray verbatim the words of this passage of Scripture. They've memorized it. It's just a memorized prayer. Jesus did not tell his disciples to pray this prayer. They did not ask to teach us how to pray, though Jesus would give them instruction on how to pray, but teach us to pray. If we're not careful, if I'm not careful, sometimes prayer can become just rote religion, just a religious exercise that we've kind of memorized some little kind of a prayer. Maybe it's not the same type of memorized prayer that some denomination uses, but for us, we have our Baptist memorized prayers, if you will. And it's very possible for us to just kind of get into a routine, if you will, where we're almost on autopilot. You ever get on autopilot in your life? Let me ask you this. Is there a place, maybe, I know we're kind of different now because of driving not as much with people working from home and what have you. Has there been a time, if you can think way back to 2019, when you would drive to and from work every day, has there been a time that you've been so just on autopilot that you're driving and you go through a few intersections, you know, I don't even know if that light was green or not. I mean, I'm pretty sure it was green. Have you ever been there? You're just on autopilot. Can I tell you, if we're not careful, we can do that in our prayer life. That it just becomes routine. It just becomes, this is my prayers. I'm saying my prayers, quote unquote. You understand? Do you understand what I'm saying? And we understand that when these disciples come and they say, teach us to, when this disciple, really they were all there, but there was one of them that comes and says, teach us to pray. He says, as John also taught his disciples. We don't have all of the record of that, but evidently John the Baptist has taught his disciples with regard to the subject of prayer. And so this disciple, as he observed the Lord Jesus Christ engaged in prayer, when Jesus finished praying, he says, Lord, teach us to pray. The request of the disciples, number two, the response of the Lord. I love that the Lord Jesus Christ responds to the disciples in answering their question, answering this disciple's question, Lord, teach us to pray. And he said unto them, see, the reality is that I believe that this is a request that is made in verse number one that Jesus delighted in answering. He understood the importance of prayer. He's God. But he's praying. He had a certain place. If you go over to the book of John, we won't take time to do that, but you remember during the trial and all that takes place and when they're going to come and get him, there was a Judas knew of the place. Jesus had a place. And we find here in the text of Scripture that Jesus, he, in verse number two, it says, and he said unto them. Now, consider with me that in verse number 1 of chapter number 11, the Bible says this, that Jesus, it came to pass that as he was praying in a certain place, when he ceased, one of his disciples said unto him, Lord, teach us to pray. And then it says in verse number 2, and he said unto them, not unto him, but unto them. Why? Because the request of the one was something that all of them needed to hear. Amen? Because this matter of prayer is of vital importance to the people of God. It's a unique privilege to pray. I know we speak often. I've preached I don't know how many messages over the last 9.5 years on the subject matter of prayer. I don't know how many times it comes up through the portions of Scripture and books of the Bible that I've taught and preached through. But the reality is that this is something that we regularly need to revisit because our prayer life is so vital. And we see here that the Bible says, he said unto them, when ye pray. When ye pray. Now, he did not say, if you pray. He said, when you pray. Now, if you think this evening that the subject matter before us is not as significant as it is that I'm portraying it to be and not as needful, I would encourage you to recognize that, broadly speaking, within some of the best churches across the land of this nation, their least attended service of the week is prayer meeting. It's the case for us. The least attended service is prayer meeting. Prayer meeting. We're to be a house of prayer. Our God hears and answers prayer. He's able to do exceeding abundantly above all that we ask or think. But yet, too many, far too many of God's people for far too long have placed little emphasis on the prayer meeting. Many of you have read about C.H. Spurgeon, great preacher of yesteryear. London, England, had the opportunity to go to the Metropolitan Tabernacle several years ago when we visited England. And I made a request when we went into that Metropolitan Tabernacle. I did not understand the recent history of things that had taken place since the end of Spurgeon's ministry and all that had taken place with the church. But I made this request of the gentleman in the bookstore. I have read and I have heard, and perhaps you have as well, that there was a place under the pulpit where Spurgeon preached in the basement that he called the power room. And every time that he would preach, there were about 100 to 120 people that were in that place praying. Praying during the message. And he often would say that it was the answer of the prayers of those people that allowed for the Word of God to go so powerfully from the pulpit of that church. I did not know that the church had been decreased significantly in size. The building, at some point, they thought they were going to have to sell the entire building, but they were able to do some modifications, and they had sold the back part of the building, and they had some big reconstruction projects that had taken place. And really, the place in which the pulpit sits today at the Metropolitan Tabernacle is far removed from where it was when Spurgeon was pastoring there. And so it was not possible for me to go into the basement of that room and to see that place, though I made the request. The man at the bookstore knew exactly what I was speaking of. But wherever that quote-unquote location would be in another building at this particular time. But what I'm saying is that prayer is important. The disciples, of all the things they could ask the Lord Jesus Christ to teach them, teach us to pray. Teach us to pray. And Jesus said unto them, when ye pray. And he says, say, our Father which art in heaven. I'm not going to read the entire thing. I will just say this, kind of a preview to next week's lesson. You understand that it starts out by saying, our Father which art in heaven. Obviously, through the way in which it begins, it helps us to understand the place in which he resides. Sure, that's fine, that's understood. But I want you to think about the relationship that is revealed. Our Father. What gives me the opportunity to pray is that I'm a child of God. That I belong to him. John 1 in verse number 12, but as many as received him, to them gave he power to become the sons of God. And so because I have relationship with God, I can go into the presence of God as his child, our Father, which art in heaven. And this evening, when we see this statement, when he says, when he said unto them, when ye pray, I believe that the request of this disciple and the response of the Lord to the disciples, the verbiage that is selected, you understand that every word of God is pure. And when Jesus responded by saying, when ye pray, what is he communicating to them? This is something you're going to do, right? If you ask me how to do something, I say, well, if you do that, if you happen to go here, in fact, I shared with somebody that we were going to go to a certain destination. They said, oh man, if you're going to go there, you should do this. The reservations are made, now they could say, when you go there, do this. Jesus is saying, when ye pray. And I wonder this evening, as we just, it's a simple thought, but sometimes it's these simple things of the Christian life that we can kind of overlook. And you understand tonight, the devil doesn't want you to pray. No, he doesn't want you to pray. The early church, they prayed. They prayed. They prayed together. They saw amazing answers to prayer. We've read in Colossians 1 the content of the prayer for the Colossians that Paul prayed, as we studied a couple of weeks ago on Sunday morning. In this evening, I just want us to focus upon this simple yet profound request of the disciples. And then I'd like for us to just personally evaluate our own prayer life. Not only tonight, but this week. How's my prayer life? There's a lot of quotes out there about prayer. You can look it up. You can find all kinds of cute little sayings about prayer. Should be our first response, not our last resort. Do we treat prayer like we treat maybe a spare tire? I don't even have a spare tire in my car. It's a bad deal, isn't it? I honestly don't. In my car, there's no spare tire. But if you have a spare tire, how often do you check it? When do you check if your spare tire is good? Jared? How long have you had your car? Have you ever checked it? Do you even have one? Are you sure? Yeah? I thought I had one too, and then I found out I don't. Thankfully, I didn't have a flat tire. Sam, how often do you check your spare tire? Every day. He's such a... This guy over here, man. Just so you folks on live stream know, he's lying. Every day. Honestly, though, you know when you check your spare tire? When you need it. When you need it. Is that how we pray? We just need something. We're in a pickle. We got a problem. Oh, God, we need you to do something. We're in a mess. And we pray. That's not how it should be. We should pray. The Bible says pray without ceasing. Be in that spirit of prayer. But the disciples, they say, one disciple says, Lord, teach us to pray. We're going to spend more time in prayer on Wednesday nights. I think it's important. And I hope that we would take the simple truth of the Word of God over the next several weeks as we study through the passage, and that we'd allow God to give us a revival of prayer. Somebody said this, another cute little saying about prayer. The only place power comes before prayer is the dictionary. The only place power comes before prayer is the dictionary. John R. Rice was famously known as saying, much prayer, much power. Little prayer, little power. No prayer, no power. We have a unique privilege. And oh, that we would not take it lightly, overlook it, but that we would truly say, God, would you help me to have a revival in my prayer life? Because God hears and answers prayer. He hears and answers prayer. We need a revival of prayer in our homes, in our church. Revival of prayer. Let's pray. Father, we love you. Thank you for loving us. I pray that you bless our time. I pray that the folks that are tuned in on live stream this evening, I pray that they would take the prayer bulletin that was emailed to them, that they would get together. If they're by themselves, they would spend time in prayer. If they're with their family, that they would get together and pray, just as we will here at the church house. Lord, I pray you'd give us a revival of prayer. I pray that you'd work as only you can. For it's in Christ's name we pray. Amen.